97.5, The Fanatic.
Oh, what's going on, y'all? 97.5, The Fanatic, back at it here, 10 o'clock. Broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Devon Gibbons with you in the post. Josh Rabick producing the show, and the Philadelphia 76ers in their four-game skid, defeating the Memphis Grizzlies tonight at the center, 119-107. And of course they did, right? Because they were back here in South Philadelphia once again, just in control of this game from the second quarter on. Memphis made their run towards the end, but it was pretty much done at that time. So just a good game overall, a lot to get into. So if you're leaving the center and you want to call in and talk about a victory, something we have not been able to discuss for quite some time now, 610-632-0975. We spoke about the young duo of Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. as these two young guys leading this 26-25 team before the game, now 26-26 squad, with so much talent, playing together, playing well together, into it, liking each other, enjoying their time on the floor. Just look like they're having a good time as they win these games in a tough Western Conference, sitting in the eighth seed out west. 76ers, their troubles, as we know, with the four-game losing streak, the road woes, 9 of 19, which is still there because they will not go on the road until after the All-Star break. But they're back at home, and we had a chance to see the young guys here. And while we say they're young, we know they're a fourth-year veteran and for Embiid with Simmons, and for Embiid, a six-year veteran, whatever he is at this point. Seems like they've been around forever. And they played well today. Embiid only played 15 minutes and 52 seconds because of the neck stiffness that caused him to miss the second half. But 10 points, 10 rebounds in the half, 3 of 6 from the field, only 1 3-point attempt, and 4 free throw opportunities, making 3 of them in 15 minutes and 52 seconds with a block shot, 2 steals, and 3 turnovers. Ben Simmons on the night, the other young gun here in Philadelphia, really set the tone of how the game was going to play out. Not only offensively, but defensively. So when we speak about Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. and what they're able to do out there on the floor, right? You have to, as I said, I hope we're talking about highlights about the Sixers' young players versus highlights on the opposite side, the opposition with Memphis. And that's what we got. We got the highlights from Ben Simmons and his defense on Ja Morant, which slowed down their offense, not allowing them to get into the sets that they needed to, the action that they needed to overall. It was about Ben Simmons setting things up the way that he needed to set things up, both defensively setting that tone and offensively coming out from the start, being aggressive. You know my favorite thing, aggressive Ben Simmons is the best Ben Simmons, and he was exactly that tonight with 22 points, 9 of 14 from the floor in 34 minutes and 51 seconds, a game high 34 minutes and 51 seconds, getting to the free throw line 5 times, converting 4 of 5, so he continues to shoot well from there. 10 assists, 4 rebounds, 3 steals, 1 block shot, and the only negative on his stat line tonight, the 7 turnovers. We see it far too often where he gets too high on himself with what he does, what he's capable of doing, and the 7 turnovers, there you have it. But defensively, the way he made it very difficult for Ja Morant to do anything. Yes, his speed, he was able to get by Ben Simmons from time to time. He's going to do that. But clamping down on him, putting his body in front of him, putting his body on him, the length, causing some issues with the shot attempts when he did have a little bit of a step on Ben Simmons, just that length and him having to alter the shot, the length causing issues with the passing lanes. Morant had 4 turnovers tonight and not allowing any of the explosive things to really go to get the Memphis Grizzlies going, where they have that energy boost from someone like Morant making the necessary plays to give them that jolt that was needed. He finished with 15, 6, and 3 rebounds. Got to the free throw line 9 times. Again, aggressive Ja Morant, so he's going to get fouled 7 of 9. But 4 of 12 overall from the field. And that was because of the defense that Ben Simmons was able to apply on him, making it very, very hard for him to do anything positive and getting his team going tonight. So with the 22 points, we then shift to Tobias Harris, 9 of 17, getting it going himself. 3 of 4 from deep, 6 rebounds, 5 assists for his 21 points as well in 32 minutes and 33 seconds. They needed him really in the second half, and that's when he had a really good run in that third quarter where they were able to put up 39 points on the Memphis Grizzlies. Just a solid performance from him overall after a subpar 4-game road trip where we had some issues with some single-digit games from Tobias Harris. Al Horford contributed 10 points on 4 of 10 shooting, 2 of 5 from deep. Again, his work really done in the second half because everyone else had things going, also adding 8 rebounds and 6 assists. But as good as Ben Simmons was, the story of Joel Embiid having to leave the game and the solid performances from Tobias Harris and Al Horford, the story of the game was number 30, Furkan Korkmaz, who shot 13 of 17 from the field, 7 of 9 from deep, a new career high, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and 28 minutes and 46 seconds, and a game high, and a new career high, which was formerly 24 points, of 34 points for Furkan Korkmaz. We've seen these at the center where he's had these great nights. I think I saw a stat where he shoots 44% from behind the three-point line at home and under 34% away from the center. He was fantastic tonight. And this is what we try to get on a consistent basis from him, where they have that belief and that faith that he can shoot the basketball from the perimeter as much as he wants, as long as he has enough space to get the shot off. We may not get this type of night consistently, but it is good to have these types of nights where on the scouting report, this is there for the opposition to know that he is out there, to know how to make sure they pay attention and locate him at all times and not allow him to get those shots off. He had it going from everywhere. The ball fakes, which is, he's very, very good at the ball fakes. And the thing that they like with the ball fakes, don't step in, step to the side. So as the guy is flying by, you take that dribble, that one dribble to the side to give yourself that room to get the shot off. He was doing that very well. Catch and shoot very well quickly when he got the ball. The opportunities to find him in transition when he had it going. Tobias Harris said it with Tom McGinnis. He was hot. You find the open man. You reward the hot hand. And that's exactly what they did tonight, rewarding Furkan Korkmaz for having such a very good night shooting off the bench with his 34 points in 28 minutes and 46 seconds. You now add Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson III to just having the punch, the three-point making, the shot making, the ability to make that shot from deep off the bench. And that is a very, very good sign, again, for Furkan Korkmaz to have this night. We have yet to see Burks and Robinson in the offense, but one will assume that with them shooting at the high percentage that they were shooting, 38% from Burks, 40-plus for Glenn Robinson III, and now Furkan Korkmaz, we already know what he does. It's a very, very good thing to have coming in off the bench for the Philadelphia 76ers. Just a tremendous night for him to be able to go out there and get things done the way he did tonight, 34 points, leading all scorers tonight with a new career high, 34 points on 7 of 9. Again, a career high there as well, 7 of 9 from deep. And the one where you really know it was a heat check, not the one where he had the and one for the 4-point play opportunity, missing the free throw. The one where he had the ball coming across half court in transition, and he just pulled up one step in from the logo at half court, just beyond the hash mark and drilling it. That is what you call a heat check shot. Damian Lillard, Steph Curry type of heat check shot. Furkan Korkmaz really had it going. Thought he was tremendous. Also, Matisse Thybulle, 3 of 5 from the field, 32 minutes and 11 seconds. 6 points for him. Josh Richardson in his return, good to see him back. He played 14:57, 2 of 7, struggled, trying to get his way back with the hamstring injuries, 4 points on the evening. But good to see him back once again. They're going to, I don't know how they're going to do it, maybe keep him coming off the bench until after the All-Star break with only 2 games remaining. Sunday hosting Chicago at 6. The Clippers in town on Tuesday for the final game before the break. But it is good. It is good to see this. Get these wins, right? 32-21. Try to get these last two going into the All-Star break. 34-21, feeling good about yourself going out there. The fact that Simmons and Embiid will be in Chicago for the All-Star game. Any issues that we feel, hopefully, you know, they just go out there, do what they do, spend a little bit of time together, have those conversations that they need to have, get away, everyone get away, clear your mind, come back and ready for the start of the official second half of the season after the All-Star break. Really good win, normal win for the Sixers tonight, right at home. Now 23-2, 32-21 overall, shooting 53% from the field, 56% from behind the three-point line, and most importantly, they only shot 25. So they didn't jack up 46, they didn't jack up 36, 25, a solid 25 attempts for the Philadelphia 76ers at 56%. They won the rebounding total tonight, 50 to 40, 34 assists to 25. And you know I love the assists, especially when it's 34 assists on 48 made baskets. Sharing the rock, sharing the wealth. Simmons with 10, Horford with 6, Harris with 5, Korkmaz 4. They shared the rock. They got the victory. Hopefully they can clean up on the 21 turnovers. But a good win tonight, getting back on the track with a W for the 76ers. 610-632-0975. If you're leaving the center, let us know what it was like down there. Let us know what you made of the game, the rotations, the substitutions, Korkmaz and his shooting, and what the building was like tonight. Ben Simmons playing downhill, and they did not have an answer for him this evening. 610-632-0975. Sixers win 119-107 over the Memphis Grizzlies. Now 32-21. On the season, back at home on Sunday, 6 o'clock tip right here on the Fanatic, hosting Zach LaVine and the Chicago Bulls. Once again, 610-632-0975. We're in the post until midnight. I'm Devon Givens, Josh Rabick producing the show. Let's start things off in the post. South Philly, Eric on 97.5. What's up, E?
Hey, Devon, thank you so much for having me. I've been a long-time listener, first-time caller, and I'm just coming back from my first Sixers game.
Oh, nice. You got a good one.
Yeah, the energy was great, I got to tell you. I'll tell you what, obviously, being there for the Furkan game was absolutely fantastic. I've been watching him for the last couple of years, and it was good to see him over the last, first half of the season really start to break out and then really have a heck of a game here. I'll tell you what. That being said, the energy at Wells Fargo Center was, I would say, maybe an 8 out of 10. Obviously, everybody is still a little hurting a little bit over the last 4 games.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I think this is a great win for us to build on, regardless of Joe not coming up second half. Ben, obviously, still putting up his defense the way he's been over the course of the last year. And I think getting Jay Rich back, regardless of whether or not he did much during this game, was a good omen for us. He helps us play a little bit more D. He helps us spread the floor a little bit more.
Yep.
And I'm kind of stuck in between whether or not this season is going to end well or this season isn't going to end well. But I got to have faith. I got to have faith in Brett Brown. I have faith in Ben Simmons. I have faith in Joel Embiid. And I think that this team's going to find something. This team's going to find something the second half of the year. And we are really built for the playoffs. And regardless of what's happened on the road over the first half of the year, we've got a long time still. I think everyone's forgetting about how long we actually have left in this season.
No, there's a lot of time left, man. 53 games in the books right now. So when you look at that, 29 games remaining. Eric, thanks so much, man. Appreciate you listening. Thanks for the support. I'm glad you enjoyed your first 76ers game and you got a win out of it. And you saw a show from Furkan Korkmaz and Ben Simmons as well. The Sixers coming away victorious. It's hard to predict what happens at the end of the season. We have no idea. All we can do is play off of how things are right in front of us. When they lose the way they lose, we talk about it. When they win the way they win, we discuss it. We analyze wins and losses in the moment based on what they are. And we know they have 29 games remaining. We do. Two more left before the All-Star break. So we'll be left with 27, which is broken down into four home, 13 away. And those away games obviously are very important. How will they respond? So we have no idea of how things will go, Eric, to start to forecasting. That you do what you can do. The only thing we do focus on, you know, we all do it, is looking at the road games that they do have remaining and hoping that they find some way to get as close as possible to 500 to help push that win total higher to allow them to elevate in the Eastern Conference standings. Continue to play defense the way that they do. Take that energy, take that effort onto the road and apply it there. And we already know what you do at home, how comfortable you are at home in front of the home crowd. You guys were fantastic. All they do is speak about what you guys bring in terms of your energy level for the team when they are back here. I saw a quote where Brett Brown says, "We don't have a choice but to play well back here in Philadelphia at the center because of the way the crowd brings it, that they also have to bring it now, improving their record to 23-2. Let's see if they move up in the standings tonight. The Indiana Pacers are currently playing with four minutes and 5 seconds to go. They're up 109-99 to the Toronto Raptors. So right now the Sixers and Pacers are tied in the standings. If the Pacers fall, the Sixers will now move into the fifth spot in the Eastern Conference standings, a half a game up on the Indiana Pacers. 610-632-0975. There was a potential newsbreaker during the game where Charlotte Hornets forward Marvin Williams was trying to negotiate a buyout. 6'9", veteran forward who can shoot, right, range, and versatile. Overall, we can play the 3, 4, and a 5, more so the 4 at this stage of his career as a stretch 4. And as I was going to ask the question during the evening, what do you guys make of Marvin Williams as a possible candidate for a buyout? Shams Charania breaks in and says, Marvin Williams is planning to sign with the Milwaukee Bucks after the contract buyout from Charlotte, league sources say. So, of course, there's that. So we'll see what else, you know, comes to fruition as the month goes along. Buyout period ends on March 1st. So we'll see what happens after guys are released and waived or bought out from their teams. And we'll go from there. Milwaukee gets a little bit stronger with someone like Marvin Williams to come off the bench. 610-632-0975. Evan in Westchester in the post. What's up, Evan?
Good, Vaughn.
How's it going? Evan. Broke up, so we'll see what's going on there. But we head to the Northeast, and we adapt. We go to the Northeast and check in with Tiana in the post. Tiana, how you doing?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well.
I'm doing fantastic. My husband and I, we kind of just got off today, and we're like, let's just go to the Sixers game. Like, why not? We're both off, whatever.
Yes.
And that was a hell of a game to go to. It was really exciting in there. Furkan was getting MVP chants. Like, it was crazy. It was insane. Like, just bananas. And that was our first game this season. So that was great. That was exciting. I needed that after those last four games.
Without question, we all needed it, whether we were in the building or here in the studio or at home, wherever. We all needed that one, Tiana. And what did you see differently? And, you know, what is it about them as you guys, you know, snuck down there tonight, had yourself a night, and you saw a great performance? What is it about them at home that just gives them that different type of energy versus being on the road?
I honestly think they really just feed off the crowd. It sounds simple, But I really think they just feed off the crowd, and the crowd gives them almost like pressure to play well, because they know they're going to hear those boos if they don't. When they're on the road, they don't have that pressure. So it's like they just kind of, I don't know, they have nothing to feed off of. That's my only explanation. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It does not. And if you're a championship contender, Tiana, you have to find a way to do both, right? Win at home and find a way to collect some of those W's on the road, or else it's going to be an early exit for you in the playoffs.
Yeah, they did it last year, so I don't know what's so different.
You know what? I don't have an answer either, and that's why I figured I would ask you and everyone else what the difference is. I'm glad you guys had a good time. I'm glad you guys had an opportunity to see Furkan Korkmaz go off the way he did. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Thanks so much. 610-632-0975. It's just baffling the way that they perform. And I get it. I you know, everyone does it. Play at home. You play well at home. You don't lose. The crowd is behind you. You feel that much more comfortable. Well, we also hear it from time to time where people say, we like playing on the road a little more because there is not that same amount of pressure on the road. We are just there. It's us and the coaching staff and the scattered fans that are in the building, and we hear them, but we just have to go out there and play for each other. And for some reason, it's not resonating. Not resonating on the road for them. The turnovers have been better. They've been down. Simmons have been playing much better. All-star all year long, right? Great player. Well, very good player, not a great player. All-star level player, playing very well, doing what he needs to do. Having these good stretches, these good signs, but on the road, they can't put anything together. That's why they have to find a way to string together a nice amount of wins to try to collect these W's to move up as high as possible in the Eastern Conference standings. I would look at it right now and kind of prefer if they were to be in that fifth, possibly sixth, stay in that sixth spot and play the Boston Celtics, right? Boston won tonight, 112-107. They're still in the third spot, 1.5 games behind the Toronto Raptors. And, I mean, you just look at it and you say, hey, I take my chances against them, my chances against them, versus the Miami Heat at this point, just because of how they played throughout the season. Winning the season series against the Boston Celtics, not so much against the Miami Heat. 610-632-0975. Raptors up 113-103, it looks like, now over the Indiana Pacers. And hopefully they continue to keep that lead and come away with the victory, and the Sixers will move into the fifth spot in the Eastern Conference. 610-632-0975. Victorious tonight, 119-107 over the Memphis Grizzlies, led by a career high 34 points behind that Furkan Korkmaz. Ben Simmons, tremendous as well, with his numbers looking 22, 4 rebounds, 10 assists, 3 steals, 1 block shot in 34 minutes and 51 seconds. Your reaction to the win? We're not getting too crazy about it. It's basically what they do. Lose on the road, win at home. They got it done tonight, 119-107. Let's take your reaction, 610-632-0975. Josh Rabick is doing a great job, as always, producing. I'm Devon Givens. We're in the post until midnight, talking Sixers victory right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Baseline cut off, picks up his dribble, cross-court skip Horford, now to Furkan, another three by Korkmaz is good. 4-3, 16 points, and Korkmaz has lifted the Sixers to an 8-point lead.
Find that hot hand, Furkan Korkmaz, tonight, 34 points for the Philadelphia 76ers, a new career high, 7 of 9 from deep, for also a new career high, 20 points at the half on 8-9, shooting 4-5 from behind the three-point line. And once again, feeling himself shooting from right beyond the hash, the step inside the logo, and he had it going tonight. 610-632-0975. Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson III, not with the team. Maybe we'll see them suit up against the Chicago Bulls on Sunday. Nothing official yet. Joel Embiid left after the second quarter ended, went into the locker room. Everything seemed to be okay. He did not return with a neck sprain, neck stiffness not coming out of the locker room. So we'll continue to monitor that. I'll see if I see anything throughout the night, but I hope that he's able to go against Chicago on Sunday back at the center. 610-632-0975. And the Indiana Pacers have fallen to the Toronto Raptors, 115-106. So as of right now, the 76ers hold down the fifth spot in the Eastern Conference, a half a game up on the Pacers, and now 3.5 behind the Miami Heat. 610-632-0975. And the Heat are in Sacramento to take on the Kings. And I believe that's minus Jimmy Butler, yes, who is not available tonight. Let's go back to the phones. Sean on the cell next in the post. What's up, Sean? Yo, Sean.
You.
What's going on?
Man, I'm doing good, man. Just leaving the game.
All right, take us into the building. What was it like in there?
I like coke mines, man. That guy was on fire, man. I thought he was going to take a mask off and Reggie Bullock was going to be under there, man.
Well, I don't know about it. That would be nice, but, that would be nice. He had himself a night.
I think Brett Brown needs to get himself a pair of glasses because it's no way Mountain's starting over cork miles.
Well, I think they just like that punch coming off the bench since they have so much in their starting unit. Cork miles has started his fair share of games, but being able to have that secondary ball handler that Shake Milton is, much better ball handler and creator than Furkan Korkmaz, I think with his punch coming off the bench and the opportunity to have Shake Milton handle the ball a little bit and when Ben Simmons is off of it and roaming around, that they feel good with that instead of him coming off the bench and having Korkmaz start.
Yeah, in that Al Horford guy, I think he needs to come off the bench. Because him and Embiid at the same time, it's just not enough speed out there.
Yeah, it's a little bit different, and they're still trying to figure it out. And I don't like saying they're still trying to figure it out with 53 games in the books, but that might be an option. Brett Brown was asked before the game about Al Horford possibly coming off the bench, and he said everything is on the table. So that might be something that we see going forward, Sean, where they tweak the lineup a little bit, especially once they get a chance to see who Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson are within their system and go from there. And definitely after the All-Star break and see if they have to make those types of changes.
Yeah, I hope so, man. I think it'd be a better ball team if they sit Al Horford. Let Embiid get his rest, then Horford comes back.
Well, you know he's going to get in there early too, Sean. Thanks for the call, man. Glad you enjoyed the game because Embiid typically gets off the floor at certain time, right around that 6-5, 6-minute mark, and you'll get Al Horford in there relatively quickly, and you see what he does with the starters who are remaining in the game and go from there. Let's head back to the phones. Zach in Pottstown joining us in the post here on the Fanatic. Zach.
Hey, long-time caller, first-time listener. Left the arena tonight and pretty much just said, who cares? Who cares about the Sixers' win tonight? Like, wake me up when they beat a playoff team on the road.
Well, but if they lost, you'd be saying, see, this is ridiculous. They can't even continue to win at home. So, to be fair...
Sure, but
you give them the credit for what they did, but I totally agree with you that they need to find a way to get their W's on the road. They have to.
Yeah. They're 1-13 on the road against playoff teams. Shake Milton is starting. He'll never see the floor come June. So, I mean, who really cares about him? And Embiid is out with neck stiffness.
What is the problem exactly?
I'm just like, people are calling up like, I love Korkmaz. Come on, it's not Korkmaz. Like, what? Like, get real. This game meant nothing.
Would it have meant nothing if they lost the game?
Hold on.
I'm asking you a question. You're talking. We're having a conversation. Would it have meant nothing if they lost the game?
No, but like...
Well, so you can't say it meant nothing.
They beat a 500 team at home and people are going nuts. Like, oh my God.
Zach, no one has gone nuts. I don't know what you're hearing.
How come you're not calling out Embiid for sitting out a game with neck stiffness?
We don't know what happened for me to call out why he's sitting out for neck stiffness. Do you know?
Imagine Carson, Eagles lose.
610-632-0975. I left him on too long. Trying to have a conversation, of course, like I typically do. And he obviously had an agenda. So we'll move on to a much better caller, I'm sure, with Nate in Southwest in the Post. What's up, Nate?
Yeah, bro,
I'm not sitting there saying you got to wave pom poms and shoot off confetti and pop champagne.
Up there with all the negativity, like
even if you do, if you can't sit there and say it doesn't mean anything in terms of a win, right. If you're not going to feel the same way if they lost the game.
Absolutely, but he would have though. If we lost the game, it would have been all these guys are Brett Brown got to be fired. Like you'd have been all
sure.
You know what I mean,
none of us are going crazy here. We're just simply saying they got a necessary W. That's what they got.
We needed the W.
You needed it
because if you lose, you want a 4-game losing streak. You lose this game, that is 5. The whole city gonna go mad for real. Like, but yeah, I mean, like you said, he had an agenda when he was calling. That's on him. I want to give my time. But look, this is what it is. I seen it though. When he had that collision, he ran into Valanciunas. He hit the floor, he got up, he started grabbing his neck and holding his back, and I'm like, he ain't coming back, bro. Soon as he went in the locker room, I knew he wasn't coming back. I'm like, yo, he hurt right now, bro. And I'm like, but it's Joel Embiid, so it's to be expected. Yeah, you know I mean, I expect that. You know what I'm saying? So that's not nothing new. But yeah, you just kind of threw me off when you just said the Bulls gonna sign with the Bucks, man, because we really could use them right now, man.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens. But they get a very good veteran shooter that the Sixers could have used as well.
Yeah, but you know what, man? All in all, man, I enjoyed it tonight, man. You already seen what I gave. It's cool them two young Bulls came out and at least came out to the fan base and signed a bunch of stuff for the kids. That was
so let the people know you're talking about
and Morant.
Oh, Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson coming out. That is cool. That is cool.
I mean, they had them dudes accessible and they the way Morant planned is I didn't think he was coming back out, but his dad was there, so I kind of figured he was coming. But man, I just think now when we put these new two pieces together, let's see what happens after that. And if it doesn't work out, then we know what we got to do at the end of the year. Somebody got to go, and it might be a player and a coach. You know what I'm saying?
Could be, man.
That's
listen,
how it's gonna be, though, man.
Appreciate the call.
Man.
Have a great weekend, man. 610-632-0975. oh man. Yeah, so, I mean, it is good. I'm just laughing at a tweet that I just got from from Franklin. Easy on the first-time listener, long-time callers. And you know what? We should have known right away from there, right, Franklin, that that's what we were going to get. 610-632-0975. Great win by the team tonight. Once again, knocking off the Memphis Grizzlies 119-107 in front of a sellout crowd, as always. You guys brought it. They gave you the result on the floor. Furkan Korkmaz, career high points, 34 for the sharpshooter. That's right, I said it. The sharpshooter tonight for the Sixers. Lamar and Philly next on the Fanatic in the Post. What's up, Mar?
Yo, what's up, Devon? How's it going tonight?
Oh, it's good, man. Good to see it win.
Oh, man, it's good to see it win, Devon. I'm not going to be super negative the way the last guy was.
I know.
Devon, but I'm just not impressed, man. I feel like I do with the Eagles. Like playoff time, it'll be totally different. I feel like Brett Brown, I can't really trust him managing the minutes the way that you will want them managed. And when I'm looking at Shake Milton on the floor, and when I'm looking at what I've gotten from Ben, I'm just not impressed, Devon. I feel like they did what they were supposed to do tonight, but I'm just not impressed.
And you know what? They did this to themselves. And we'll talk about the win. And as you said, and as Nate said, this was a win that they needed. And they did what they were supposed to. They went to their home floor, got a W against an inferior team, and they got it done. Now, in terms of you saying what you just said Once again, they did this to themselves. And this is based on their road record, 9-19, 23-2 at home. It's hard to get up, as you pointed out, and get too excited. And I don't think any of us have done that yet. But we have to sit here and wait and see what they do to try to win everyone's trust back based off of their latest performances and on the floor and specifically on the road. So I hear you. As you said, you're not going to be super negative, but you can't really trust the team right now. And all we have to do is sit there and wait and see what else happens. See what these new guys do when they get here and play on.
But, Devon, let me ask you a question about Ben, though.
Uh-huh.
My thing about Ben, now I have watched Furkan Korkmaz develop into floater, teardrops in the lane, and all of that, Devon. It's 3 years now. Ben don't even have that in his arsenal, and I feel like, to me, that's what bothers me the most. I feel like kind of like Embiid kind of like just says, okay, well, they take whatever from Ben, so this is all I'm giving them tonight. So I just feel like it's just a domino effect. And every area you look, I feel like it always points back to Ben. I feel like if Furkan can develop his game into floaters, I never thought he had a floater in his bag. I thought he was just a one-trick pony.
No, he's had it for a while, actually.
And I'm actually impressed with him. I'm actually impressed with where his game is now from where I seen him when he started. But my thing is, when you look at Ben, I just feel like he's just something missing. I feel like when all the other young players across the league, whether it's Siakam, whether it's Brown in Boston, you got these guys that got like dog in them. And I feel like Ben does one thing good, attacks a wide open rim.
And you know what? But when he attacks it and he goes downhill that way, thanks for the call, man, that it's an effective play. It's a very good play because it puts that pressure on the defense. It sets the tone possibly for that next possession, that next missed shot. When his teammates look for him, they have to get back because they're on their heels as to what's going to happen. And if they try to close it off with that picket fence, it's up to him to adapt to that and then be smart about where he goes next with the basketball, whether it's pulling it back out to reset, kicking it to the corner, the wing, a trail man, and just find, make the right play. Make the right play. And once again, the teardrop and the floater, it's something, Mar, that I've said I wanted to see in Ben Simmons' game for the last two seasons, because if he's not going to shoot the jumper, okay, finish at the rim strong, like Brown always talks about. Finish at the free throw line with a better percentage. My number has been, give me to 70, and I'm good. He's been shooting great over the last couple of weeks from the free throw line. And implement that teardrop, that floater, a little more. He already has a soft touch, specifically with his right hand. When he decides to go righty, when he gets closer to that painted area, when he does that, it's a soft touch. You get that soft touch up. You get the rim a little bit. All you need is the right little soft touch to allow it to touch every little piece of that rim, hit the backboard a little bit, the back of the rim, and roll right in. It all counts as two. And with his 6'10 frame, the length that he has with the wingspan, getting it over the long arms or the shorter arms or whatever the defender it is, I think I agree with you, Mar, that I think it is a dangerous play for him if he decides to trust himself with that play. Instead of fading, just simply go off that 1 foot, that little teardrop, boom, done. We've seen others do it. Nikola Jokic does it at his size. Kevin Durant, his size. And I don't want to hear anything about Kevin Durant, who I love. You all know I support and defend him always. Everyone can have a floater. Doesn't have to be Kevin Durant only. Ben Simmons needs that in his game as well. I agree with you, Lamar. 610-632-0975. We're in the post until midnight. We're following a Sixers win. Glad to say it. 119-107 back at home at the center. We'll take your phone calls when we get back. Ken, Derek, Mark, Andrew, Adam, and Lee, you're welcome as well. 610-632-0975 right here on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
36% shooting. Burkhardt for three. He can't miss. Burkhardt, Korkmaz with a pull-up at the line. Another three.
He had it going. He really had it going tonight. 34 points, a career high. Seven made three-pointers, also a career high for Furkan Korkmaz in 28 minutes and 46 seconds on 13 of 17 from the floor. Gave you six rebounds, four assists as well. Solid night for Furkan Korkmaz. Hopefully he can keep this type of production going. We know it's not going to be to the tune of 34, but it doesn't mean he can't give you something consistent off the bench, especially with them just simply having to respect and close out like they do, fly by, give that little ball fake, create other opportunities for everyone else. Quick pass to Al Horford for layup. 610-632-0975. In the post until midnight. Sixers win 119-107. We go back to the phones. We check in with Ken in North Philly in the post on the Fanatic. Ken.
Hey, what's up, Von? Always good to talk to you, man.
Oh, great, man. Always good to hear you. Thanks, man.
To quote the late Dennis Green, I'm just going to say the Sixers are who we thought they were. They did tonight what we expected them to do. It's like getting an A in gym class. You know, you're supposed to get an A.
Right.
So I'm not going to jump for joy because you beat the Grizzlies at home.
Not at all.
That being said, it wasn't when it was needed. I'm just to see where we are in this, in the midst of this season, compared to what we thought we were going to be. It's just struggling, man. And I'm piecing the correlation between all three Philly teams. You know, the Phillies, Eagles, and Sixers. And I'm just coming to the realization, man, that it might just be a down year for Philly sports in general. I mean, when you consider how we had championship aspirations for all three of them, and for all three of them to not only to underachieve so mightily.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know the Sixers are still in the middle of it, but just, you know, we was talking about running through the East. You know, the only competition was the Bucks, and, you know, the Bucks are living up to it.
Right.
But here we are. You know, and every year it's the same thing. We got to wait. We got to build chemistry. We got to build chemistry. And then come the off season, they unload everybody. And then in September, October, we dealing with the same stuff. In my opinion, these losses were magnified the importance of a player like Josh Richardson.
I agree.
I think Richardson, he's the second best defender on the perimeter, bar none. And, you know, as good as Ben is on the perimeter, he can't stay in front of a quick player like Trae Young or Kemba Walker or players like that. And
he did a nice job against Ja Morant tonight.
Yeah, he did a good job.
He did a really good job. He shut down their flow of their offense by taking him away.
I know. And like I said, I understand.
But I agree with you, though. He does struggle from time to time with those smaller guards, which is really not his responsibility.
Right, it's not his responsibility. It's supposed to be. That's why they brought a player like Richardson in, because he was cut from the same cloth as Butler. You know, somebody that's scrappy, that's going to do all the things another player won't. And like I said, him missing the floor has hurt the Sixers mightily. But I just don't see. I don't want to sound like a Debbie Downer. I'm a realistic man. Anybody who knows me say the same thing. You know, I don't go for what is or what's not. Is what do I see in front of me? And what I'm seeing right now is a second-round exit. And I know earlier you talked to about wanting to play. I forgot who you said you wanted to play.
I said Boston over Miami right now.
Boston. See, we played Boston a couple years ago, and we were out-coached mightily. And really nothing changed. Nothing changed roster-wise. I mean, I know we got Horford and, you know, whatnot, but you want to see Brad Stevens in the playoffs?
No, I prefer not to, but if I had to choose between, I'm not saying I have to choose between both and Eric Spoelstra, he and Eric Spoelstra, because they're both great coaches in my opinion, and they do have those troubles. But this season, the Sixers have had the Celtics' number, and I would feel better going against them because of the size and all of that, and the fact that you got the best player on the floor every night in Joel Embiid.
Yeah, I'm going to let you go with this, Von. Good talking to you, as always.
Yes, sir.
Me, personally, I would rather play the Pacers, but I know that's probably not likely.
Yeah.
I would take my chances with Miami. I think Miami, even though they're ahead of us in the standings, they're having an awesome season. I still come playoff time, man. I don't think they had that star-level crunch time. I know they got Butler and they got good players. They're a good team. When you're talking about star players who I can give it to night in and night out, I know that's what they bought Butler in for.
Yep.
But listen, I want to see you guys do it in a seven-game series. And hopefully the Sixers can light a fuel on their fire, because right now, the way the national media is dogging my team, I can't handle it, Von. I can't handle it.
I hear you, man. And they are really coming at them now. Thanks, man. Appreciate it as always, Ken. They are coming at them. But once again, the Sixers have done this to themselves. You know, they've done this to themselves. So I get it. I totally understand. So when you get a good win like you do tonight, everyone has basically started off their call saying this was a must-needed win, but we're not going to get crazy about it because they had to get this W. The Sixers have done this to themselves. Now they have to go out there and prove to you and themselves that they can pull things together on the road and get these wins. For after the All-Star break, so they have two more before the break, Chicago Sunday, the Clippers on Tuesday, and then the All-Star break. 14 at home, 13 on the road after the All-Star break. They have a big four-game road trip out west during that 13-game road trip, the 13-game schedule on the road that we talk about for the rest of the season with the Clippers, Lakers, Kings, and Warriors. It's going to be a tough one, but we'll all monitor it the way we're supposed to see if they come away with those victories, or at least give us a nice split on the road against the Warriors and Kings, maybe even beating one of these two top LA squads. So 610-632-0975, Sixers 119, Grizzlies 107, 32nd win of the season, 23-2 at home. We'll take your phone calls when we get back. Andrew, Sean, Derek, Adam, Mark, thanks for hanging on. We'll get to you 23 minutes commercial free on the other side. We'll take your phone calls then in the post right here on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Simmons, 20 points, 10 assists. Here's Korkmaz for another three, and he drills it. And the fans on the pass over to Korkmaz, rising as one. They're feeling it.
It was that kind of night for Furkan Korkmaz. Career high, 34 points, leading all scores. Also a career high from deep, 7 made three-pointers on 9 attempts. And the Sixers come away victorious, 119-107, as up as much as 33 points. The Grizzlies made it a close game at the end. Sixers were just dominating. Coming out of the second quarter, after leading one point after one, Devon Givens with you, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Josh Rabick, Devon Givens here with you until midnight. We're in the post, as always, following Sixers basketball. Up by one after the first quarter. Put up 32 in the second, only allowing 19 by the Grizzlies. And then, out of the locker room, they really put it on them by 17, 39-22. It even felt like it was more, leading 97-66 at that point. It really felt like it was more in terms of the lead. Now, the Grizzlies put up 41 in the fourth quarter as they tried to make a push, but it was too late. They really, I mean, Brett Brown took out the starters at the end of the, late in the third quarter, and the Sixers had some troubles in the fourth. I didn't write the rundown, but the Grizzlies had really got off to a very good start. I think it was like 7 points, and Brett Brown had to call timeout. 7-0 run, and they kept on pushing. Al Horford made a couple of buckets late, and to help kind of stave off the Grizzlies and separate themselves, as I look at the fourth quarter really quickly, I think Al Horford, yeah, he had a three and another bucket for 5 points in the fourth quarter. Korkmaz with his two threes and another bucket. And, 41-22 in that quarter for the Grizzlies. But, hey, good win tonight, a much-needed win to stop that four-game losing streak. Tobias Harris said it pregame, yeah, we're at 5 on the road overall, but it's not going to be 5 overall in terms of the losing streak back here in Philadelphia. 610-632-0975. Shake Milton, who we have not mentioned tonight, 21 minutes and 41 seconds. You can see that he can put the ball on the floor and get to certain spots with his ball handling ability. 1 of 7, struggled tonight for his 2 points, but you got what you were able to get from Furkan Korkmaz, and then seeing Josh Richardson back in the lineup, a very good sight. Also, Derek Bodner of The Athletic broke the story earlier that the Philadelphia 76ers had waived Jonah Bolden to make room for Norvell Pell, who they did in fact sign to an NBA contract. So it was good to see Norvell Pell back out there, kind of in limbo, as Tom McGinnis stated during the broadcast. Played 7 minutes and 17 seconds, 2 buckets from the field, 1 of 2 from the free throw line, 2 block shots in that 7 minutes of run for 5 points. We know Athletic can run. It's good to see him out there. Let's see if he can add something to the team going forward. Kyle O'Quinn still out. Personal reasons. Keith Pompey reported earlier that Kyle O'Quinn, the veteran big man signed in the offseason, had really asked to be let go from the team, but they couldn't find anything for him. So we'll see how things go forward, especially in the buyout period. If they are able to find something, maybe they'll, in fact, do what has been asked of them, according to Keith Pompey, from Kyle O'Quinn, and letting him go to find another opportunity elsewhere. 610-632-0975. We go back to the phones. We're in the post. Oh, we go in the post in Ocean City with Andrew on 97.5. Drew, how you doing?
Good, Devon. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Oh, thanks for making the call, man. Appreciate it.
I'm one of those longtime listeners, first-time callers, so I just got a few points I want to make and see what you think on it.
Sounds good.
First off, Josh Richardson, good to have him back. I know Brett Brown called him earlier in the season like the mortar of the team. The people call him the glue.
Yes.
I think the guy is a do-it-all. You know, he's a well-rounded player. I think we're going to need him, you know, full go in the playoffs. He's a key component of what we got going on.
Yeah, so it's good to have him back. And then, of course, he has that little bit of time off during the All-Star break week and rest those hammies.
Sure, indeed. I say the win was a palate cleanser. I mean, the last four, I don't know, I'm sure with all the other Sixer fans out there, they left a bad taste in our mouth. So It was good to get off that tonight, get a little bounce back in our step, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
One other thing, as Sean touched on earlier, one other curler, he said, do you envision the Sixers bringing Horford off the bench in any scenario? And if you keep him in the starting lineup, do you see him still in the closing rotation?
That's a great question, Drew. I don't know that I see it right now, but I wouldn't, as Brett Brown alluded to it, everything's on the table, so it would be premature for us to rule that one out, right? To say that it wouldn't happen. And a lot of people feel that way, as you do, Drew, asking that question, that could this be the best thing for the team? The question is, if that is, in fact, the case, is he willing to do it? He's the ultimate team player. I don't know that he's ever been presented with a situation like that for him to make a decision to agree to come off the bench for the team. A longtime starter, so that will really test things to see where he is in terms of doing that and taking one for the team overall? Great question.
We're asking him to shoot a higher volume of threes when he got here than he's ever shot in his career.
Right.
And he's shooting a low percentage from downtown. But, I mean, we got Simba, not spacing the floor. So that's kind of a problem for a lot of players to come here. They got less room to work with. We don't see as much of Horford from the pivot like we've seen earlier in his career. He'd be so great out of that 3-point stance high up on the free throw line, making a pass, making the cut, taking some guy off the dribble or just popping from there. We don't see that as much because he doesn't have the spacing around him. So, and I know he's got a slower release too.
Yeah,
so,
he does. Yeah.
I feel like overall in the playoffs we get there, I think our defense is going to be fine. But I'm just going to leave you with, I'm just concerned who is going to make the shots when the game slows down.
Well, we will find out, man, because we still have yet to see Alec Burks in the offense and the same sure. with Glenn Robinson. So thanks, man. Appreciate Andrew for making the call. Really appreciate that. I can't wait to see Alec Burks in this lineup. I've seen Tobias Harris do it. I've seen Josh Richardson do it. So I can't really say, Drew, that it will be one specific player, where it may be a collective thing where Brett Brown looks at an opportunity to go with the hot hand. If it's someone like Furkan Korkmaz, you're not asking him to do that work with taking someone off the dribble to get it done himself versus someone making the play for him, finding him, and then knocking down that shot, that key shot like we saw in Portland very early in the season. 610-632-0975, Derek in North Philly in the post. What's up, Derek?
Hey, what's going on, man? Excuse me.
How you feeling?
Yeah, I'm good. I called you yesterday. Y'all was laughing about Ennis. The Ennis got us a second-round pick. Now, then we move into the five spot.
Yeah, you're moving to the five spot, half a game up on Indiana.
Right, so let's take that win as that. Now, if anybody questions Embiid's toughness, it's crazy. Embiid actually averages like almost a point a minute. If he gets 10 minutes, he's getting 10 points. He's hustling. So let's cut all that nonsense. I was telling y'all about the starting five.
Well, I don't think anyone is questioning his toughness. I think once he busted up his hand and did what he did by continuing and try to continue to play and then coming back and playing, I think everyone's basically praised him for what he's done.
Well, no, I've been hearing just certain things.
Well, yeah, I haven't questioned. All I've said is if his hand is not right and it's really hindering him, he shouldn't be playing right now.
But see, if he does that, then everybody say he's soft. Why he should be playing? Then he plays. He's at.
I can't worry about that.
Right, exactly.
I can only go off how I feel.
Now listen, I told you this. They're going to turn this around. Now, Josh Richardson, if he would have played in that Bucks game, I'm telling you, they would have won. Even though they lost to the Bucks, they still was in the game with how they're playing right now. And now we're going to have the shooters out because Brett Brown's offense is set up for shooters. And you've seen that with Korkmaz. So if these guys can come in and give you some good shooting.
Who are you talking about?
Burks and
Robinson? Third. Okay.
Yeah. Because it's set up for outside shooting. But you need big, you need Embiid. So stop all the, let's trade this person, trade that person. If he's a great coach, he should be able to coach those two young superstars in the making. But they're gonna be right there in the mix. So we're gonna take game at a time. Mm-hmm. We're in the fifth spot now.
Mm-hmm.
But don't question Embiid's toughness. That's all I'm
now real fast, can you refresh my memory about what you said we laughed things off about James Ennis?
Oh, because I was saying he wasn't giving Ennis no time. He puts them back and gave all, Burke and all them other guys a shot with Ennis.
Yeah, I didn't laugh because I said the first time that he gave him a DMP, I questioned Brett Brown for giving him a DMP. So right. I don't remember.
No,
go ahead.
No, you did give the good stats because remember I forgot who was there with you, but he was laughing at the
yesterday. Joe Torti.
Yeah, Torti was saying, but you said if he would have got the minutes, they still would have, because he was talking about Iguodala and Miami. Didn't we beat Miami twice and set Jimmy Butler down two times?
Yeah, that was early, and then the last two games he went off on them.
Yeah, but the starting lineup wasn't like it was.
Yeah, but guess where they were?
Listen, go ahead.
At home.
But I agree with that. But
you know what I'm saying? So that's their problem. Home.
That's all going to change. It's all going to change.
I hope so.
Right. Once the starting lineup get there consistently, nobody's not going to be able to deal with the squad. And you know the D is tough. But they're going to be all right. I'm going to call you back.
Well, listen, they've got 29 games to fix that before the postseason. So we'll see, man.
Yep, and thanks. I'm going to call you back.
You're always welcome. You're always welcome, Derek. Right, thanks so much, man. Have a great weekend. 610-632-0975. I probably like James Ennis a little more than others. I mean, I'll admit that. I didn't love him. I just liked him for what he was and thought that certain games, when Brown didn't insert him into the lineup off the bench, I questioned it. That's all right. That's all. You know, I had my question about why he wasn't there. And now he's in Orlando, so he's not here anymore. We'll see what he does. He went out, posted something on social media thanking the city, the organization, the fans for accepting him during his time here, dating back to last year when the trade happened from Houston, bringing him here, where he played well in that Toronto series. He really did. He gave them some energy, that some toughness as well from time to time, where he was getting into it with the players. I think he got a technical. I was like, all right, Josh. I mean, James, I'm okay with that. I'll accept that. 610-632-0975 in the post with Devon Givens. Josh Rabick producing the show. We're here until midnight. 610-632-0975. Sean is back from Ardmore on the Fanatic. What's up, Sean?
Hey, man. How you doing?
How you doing?
Not bad. Just wanted to tell you about my man, Korkmaz. I've been on him all year, I told you. I'm just happy for him, that's all. He's a good kid. Nice young man.
No, he is a very nice guy. I had plenty of conversations with him. Really, really nice guy. And you do root for him. I absolutely agree with you. You do root for him. The question is, who is he? We don't know. We've seen. First of all, shooters are streaky, right? Especially when that's what you are special at. That's what you do the best. He is a very streaky player, just like many others. And I'll just let people know, when Alec Burks, if you don't know Alec Burks, he can score, but he is streaky. You know, so we'll get ready for that. But Furkan Korkmaz, it is good to see him having some success. He can shoot the basketball. He's gaining that confidence and that flair that he has, that European flair, putting the ball on the floor. We've seen it in the past, and he's doing it now, man. Oh, Sean. Oh, he just bailed out on us. We've given Furkan Korkmaz the credit. Well, listen, man, you called it. And you have a right to be happy about what he did this evening, performing the way he did, dropping the numbers, 34 points, 7 of 9, a career high 7 makes from behind the 3-point line in the Sixers' win over the Memphis Grizzlies. How about this? 119-107, up by 33 points at one point in the third quarter. They had to keep that going. It would have been nice to just see rock this team. Don't even give them the opportunity to come back. Rock the team. That's why Brett Brown had to call a timeout. Early on in the fourth quarter, he did not like where the team was headed at that time. He had to stop that run by the Grizzlies. 610-632-0975. Adam in Germantown next on the Fanatic in the post. What's up, Adam?
Hey, what's up, Devon? I was disappointed the players couldn't report that after reading an SI article, neither one of them really wanted to be traded.
Well, I mean, you like your spot. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with them feeling the way they felt about wanting to stay and go. They have 48 hours to report, so it's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal because they're going to have to report.
Yeah, and they're going to have to play. And they're on one-year deals. Their deal expires at the end of the year. So if they want to continue to have that positive flow from the rest of the league off of their career-high performances, then they're going to have to come out and play. And once they get here and they get ready for the postseason and all that stuff, they'll be fine. They're professionals.
Yeah, like I said yesterday, I do think Robinson will play some backup swingman minutes. Obviously, you're hoping the main guy, Richardson, will be able to continue from this point on and doesn't have any more hamstring problems, but I that is affecting the team. Because I listened to Brett Brown, he made a comment that kind of really concerned me.
Which is?
A team with veterans, and these aren't, there's only one older veteran, and that's Al Horford. And he's mainly here to help Embiid when he goes off the rails. So, I mean, the comment was, I'm seeing our offense affecting our defense. So no wonder they have a much better record at home than they do on the road. And he was explaining that out. he was saying on the road in the playoffs, you grind it out. Your offense can't be affecting your defense. And that's what I love about him, is that he's so straightforward and honest. But he's saying that's a weakness of this team. I can only hope that Alec Burks, you know, can stay on the floor, because he is one guy that can get, I know he's streaky, but he can give them, you know, extra offense.
Absolutely. He's a bucket getter.
Right. He is a bucket guy, and he is a distributor. He, like you say, he is a combo guard. And then you look at Glenn Robinson, and you can only hope that he can give them some offense at a backup swingman type of guy. Because if really your offense is affecting your defense, somehow you're going to have to work with that if you want to win any big grinded out road games, because Embiid is a wild card. Everyone can call him the greatest superstar on the team, but he is a wild card. So you got to be able to score. I guess if you're this team, that's what Brown has recognized.
And that's where they have to run those. He has to have those great play calls, Adam. Thanks for the call. In the half court set. And they'll, listen, Adam, great call. We know they'll be ready for it. Will they execute things the right way? Will the shots fall? Where they get that great distribution and the assist ratio of with the field goal makes like they did tonight, 34 on 48 made baskets. We all love that. We all love to see that high assist number when you make that many shots, 48. You love to see it. So that's what it's going to have to be. It's going to be that ball movement, that passing, the ball never being stagnant and always just on a string getting to the next player, trying to create those open areas for you to get a good look at the basket within the 24-second shot clock. We know what it is. Can they execute? That's something that they're going to have to show us come playoff time. Come April, whether they're home or on the road to start game one, it will be a tough matchup. Can they do it? And we will see. But Alec Burks coming in, I like what he brings, providing that spark, that offense off the bench to go along with Korkmaz and his outside shooting off the bench as well. That is going to be fun to see. The athleticism, the defense, the 3-and-D type of player that Glenn Robinson III has been this season for the Golden State Warriors. A welcome addition to the team as well, with Matisse Thybulle coming off the bench, Shake Milton coming off the bench. We'll see where he fits in at that time. But right now, they have to continue to build these wins so they can potentially host that game one. And even if it got to a game seven, you want it here in Philadelphia, because we know how they play with you guys behind them. 610-632-0975. Joe in Harleysville joining us next in the post here on The Fanatic. Hey, Joe.
Good evening, Devon. It's been a while since we spoke, Sixers.
Absolutely.
I tell you, I've been so frustrated with this team. Can someone explain to me why this team plays so well at home and plays so poorly?
None of us can, man.
The only thing I can point to is the coach. You know, the court is exactly the same every arena that you go to. You know, and so is the basket.
Yes.
So what's the difference? There's no discipline, I think. And tonight they come home, they go all jacked up in front of the crowd, and they play out. You know, but when they're away, there's something wrong. I don't comprehend it. You know,
no.
I know
if there was an easy answer, if there was an easy answer, they would certainly provide that to the team as to how they can get it done. But it's just mind boggling how they are two different, so different. Jekyll and Hyde, home versus away.
Oh, one other thing before I go.
Yes.
I need you to congratulate your cousin for me.
Okay. For what?
He's on the Rising Stars.
No, he didn't make the Rising Stars. He should have, but, you know, they...
He's a good player. I really wish we had him.
Oh, so do I.
I follow him. I do follow him.
Well, thank you. They're playing right now. I was, you know, keeping track of the game right now. As a matter of fact, they won the game. I'm sorry. I didn't realize. I've been stepping away from it. They won 127-91 over the Houston Rockets tonight. Robert Covington, 9 points. Mikhail had 13. So thank you.
Yeah, yes. I just want you to know he's got a fan out here.
I'll let him know. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
You got it, man. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. Josh, we got you first when we get back. Everybody else, guess what? Open phone lines for the first time since we've gotten underway at 10 o'clock, talking some Sixers. A good win, a much needed win after a 4-game road trip, losing all of them, losing that last one last night. Good to come back and get a W. Not going crazy, but just being realistic that, hey, they needed it. They got it. And here we are talking about it tonight. Sixers win 119-107 over the Grizzlies. We'll take your phone calls on the other side. This is In the Post. Josh Rabick producing. I'm Devon Givens. Until midnight, right here on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
May have blocked it from behind. Thibel misses. Here's Simmons with it. He's got Thibel on the right side. Thibel down low with a jam. Matisse Thibel with a right hand jam. And the Sixers are picking apart the Memphis Grizzlies.
Showing off a little bit of that bounce. Matisse Thibel, 6 points on the evening. 2 dunks by Matisse Thibel. 1 from Tobias Harris, the other from Ben Simmons. And he finished with 6 points, 1 steal, 2 block shots. In 32 minutes and 11 seconds. He had 4 personal fouls. He did a nice job as well when Ben Simmons had to exit the game or slide off of Ja Morant. That responsibility, that assignment was Matisse Thybulle's. And he did a nice job as well on the star rookie point guard, the leader, I'm guessing, for rookie of the year. 610-632-0975. We continue on the phones. Have some people who want to get in. We want to give everyone their time. So we do that with Josh and Concha Hocken. Next in the post. Hey, Josh.
Devon, thanks for taking my call, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for making it, man.
Isn't it great to see this team just ball out just like a little bit? You know what I mean? Like just watching so much bad basketball, just watching them play and have fun.
It's refreshing, man, to see this because we thought this was what we would see on a more consistent basis, and we do at home. We just don't get the same on the road.
And I think we can see it, honestly. I mean, I think, you know, it's easy to get down on the team, and I'm the biggest proponent of that because it is frustrating to, you know, to see a team that's supposed to be, oh, this defensive juggernaut giving up, you know, 99 points to the Hawks in 3 quarters.
Yeah.
And that's incredibly frustrating. But, you know, I really feel like the biggest addition that we got is Burks. And I think if we were to try, and I know it's a huge pill to swallow for a guy of the caliber of Al Horford, but to bring him off the bench. And if you put Toby back at the 4 spot, which I think is his more natural spot, and you plug Alec Burks into the 3, and then you have a starting lineup of, you know, Ben Simmons, Jay Rich, Burks, Toby, and Embiid, and then you have, you know, Glenn Robinson coming off the bench. You got Corky coming off the bench if he can score, you know, anything close to what he was doing tonight. You know, I think that's a real, you know, a real lineup.
Explain to me, Josh, though, why you would go Alec Burks instead of Matisse Thybulle to allow Thybulle to have that defensive presence in the starting lineup and bring Alec Burks with that scoring off the bench.
Yeah, I mean, I think either one. I'm a huge Thybulle, and that guy came out of nowhere. I mean, mm-hmm. I love Thybulle. That kid is tough. I think he's an incredible player, and his upside. I actually heard a rumor around the trade deadline, them saying something about maybe trading Thybulle for Robert Covington. I think I would have thrown myself out a window if they did that, but. I mean, I think that the reason that you would pick, you know, Burks over Thybulle at this point is just the maturity. I mean, I think Thybulle was a 4-year guy at the University of Washington, so he's an older rookie, but he's still a rookie. And also the consistent offensive, you know, presence. I think isn't Burks shooting like 39% from 3 right now?
38.
He's averaging
16 points a game.
Yeah, so, you know, he's, I think he's the more consistent offensive option. You know, and I think that that's a big piece that, that we need right now. That, and also not to just stack the bench with 3-point shooters. You know, if you have Glenn Robinson the third, you know, Burks and you know, Furkan coming, all coming off the bench, then you're kind of, you know, putting all your eggs in one lineup. You know, if you spread it out a little bit more, might be a little bit better.
I hear you, and great, you know, great breakdown, Josh. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
Yeah. Yes, sir. You too.
All right. Appreciate it. I'm not against it. I just curious as to why. I mean, other people have different opinions on who, would, if that was the case, who would be the candidate to take that spot in place of Al Horford. And it's not a bad one at all. Nope, not at all. 610-632-0975. Huh. Alec Burks in the start. I mean, he's been starting for the Golden State Warriors, obviously out of necessity. This would be a choice here. They needed him to start. Let me see exactly how many Alec Burks has started this season. I know Glenn Robinson has also started a few as we go to... Not there, so let me make that adjustment and go to the Golden State Warriors. Look at what the stats are for the squad as they add Andrew Wiggins. Interesting. See how that plays out. So Alec Burks has started 18 of 48. Glenn Robinson has started all 48. I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't be opposed to either. I wouldn't be opposed to either. And I only say that the only reason I had Alec Burks and he said all these 3-pointers, putting your eggs in one basket. If I needed that scoring punch off the bench, I trust him mostly out of everyone. I can get the scoring from Embiid. And listen, we know that there will be a lot of staggering of players with the minutes where the start, there are going to be starters on the floor with the reserves. So let's make sure we clear that up right now. Simmons and Harris on the floor with Horford if he had to come off the bench, because we know Ben plays so many minutes. Same with Horford. Burks would come in potentially for Richardson maybe to run with Simmons. Thibault then in for Harris, Korkmaz, how it goes. Ben can now play the four when Horford slides to the five. All of that stuff. Maybe sometimes Ben will play the five again and you'll have all these weird lineups. There are different lineup combinations that Brown can now go to with the assistants to figure that out. Ime Udoka, Kevin Young, John Bryant. Figure all that stuff out. It was just a good move for Elton Brand. Now, can they live up to it going forward? Once again, Alec Burks started 18 of 48. Different situation. They needed him to come off the bench that way. And that's my thinking. You have a lot of shooters, yes, but at least I know with Burks, he can get to the cup. He has the size to finish at the rim. And he also makes his free throws where he's shooting 90% from the free throw line, 89.7. 4.7 a game. 610-632-0975, Chris in Williamstown. Next on the Fanatic in the Post. I'm with you. I just think that he's a good pickup. If they insert him into the starting lineup in place of Horford or bring him off the bench, it's just a good addition to the squad. Chris, what's going on?
You know, Devon, tonight was a really good win. I mean, sure. I won't say great win, but I'll say it was a really quality win out of my squad tonight.
It was a much needed win.
Yeah.
Tonight.
But anytime it's at home, you just kind of take it with a grain of salt, especially after what happened in Atlanta. Like, you know, Memphis is like Atlanta to me. They both are just probably as equally bad. Outside Trey Burke.
No, Memphis is a playoff team.
Well, see, but they don't look like a playoff team. Like, if I compare the roster on Atlanta and the roster on Memphis, I could sit here and probably get an even, you know, like, this guy can't, is like these two guys. I'm getting way off the beaten path. I really am. I just think, I don't know. Memphis is not a team that scares me personally.
No, they don't. Well, first of all, you don't have to see them until the finals if both of you were lucky enough to get there. But they were coming off a good win over the Dallas Mavericks. They're a surprising team, Chris, because they were supposed to be one of the bottom three teams in the NBA with such a young roster, a 35-year-old head coach that no one has ever heard of in Taylor Jenkins. And they have done a tremendous job of flipping the roster the way that they have and being in the eighth spot with like three games up on the Portland Trailblazers and the San Antonio Spurs out west. So they are a good team. They have won some very, very good games. And once again, they're playing out west. So I give them the credit.
All right. I'll give them some credit.
Yeah, they're way better than the Atlanta Hawks. Way better.
I think tonight you saw what I was asking for a little bit in a sense of playing without the ball in their hands. And you saw guys outside of Ben Simmons actually making some really like spectacular passes. Like at times I think this team really does have the tools. I just don't know that they get their all. Like, it's strange. You know, you get games like where they stand around, where you got all four guys except Ben Simmons stand still, and yet you get games like tonight where they actually go out there and show that they can play without the ball in their hands and not stand still. I think this team is capable of doing it, but at the same time, like, this is just all based off trades today. I hope that not trading Thibault like you did Landry Shamet is a sign that this team is starting to actually build more of the team that they're going to keep in the long term. Like, I'm tired of every year after year after year, XYZ changing and XYZ coming. This has got to be the time where they start to build a sound roster of guys that they can build with going forward. I'm tired of switching out players every year. So
It appears that's what they're doing. And if they were calling about Matisse Thybulle, which teams should have because he is good, they said no, and they kept the play. They kept their player, and I'm glad that they did because he is a very nice player for this basketball team.
Absolutely. So I don't expect them to go to the final. I really don't, Devon. I hope they do, but for me, like I'm just liking what I'm seeing out of the guys that you wouldn't expect. One more thing too.
Sure.
I think that between Ben and Joe, we're seeing them trying to figure out when one wants to be underneath the net and when the other one, like you see them trying to alternate between the two.
Mm-hmm.
When one goes to the hole, the other one's standing out of the 3-point line. It's a bad message, yes, but I do think they're still trying to figure this out. And I hope they get on track. I do.
Well, I hope so as well, just like many others. Thanks for the call, Chris. And if they are able to do that, we'll all be ecstatic. And We'll take it game by game. We'll certainly look at it every game and project out a little bit, especially when you have that long 4-game road trip. Both the Lakers and the Clippers, followed by the Kings and the Warriors. It's going to be a tough stretch, really tough stretch. What are you made of? The one that you had earlier, you went 1-3. This most recent one, 4 games on the road, you went 0-4. Some winnable games, and you did not. And it would get some top competition in the Eastern Conference, and it would have really said something had you been able to get those W's. But unfortunately, they were not. They put themselves in this position where they have 29 games left, 27 after the All-Star break, 14 at home, 13 on the road. Can they keep it single digits in terms of losses at home when it's all said and done? And can they at least go 500 or better with the 13 games remaining on the road? I would like to think so, but we have not seen it yet. Once again, they have to show us. 610-632-0975. Final segment coming up on the other side. Josh Rabick producing. I'm Devon Givens. We're with you until midnight right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Simmons with a steal. Simmons into the lane. Simmons with a jam. Memphis called timeout. It didn't help.
Ben Simmons bursts in for the second time and steals that ball away from Morant.
Aggressive Ben Simmons, the best Ben Simmons. Little laid back, looking to the sideline. Ja Morant to Taylor Jenkins getting the play call, and Ben kind of creeps up there. I don't know what Ja Morant was doing. So you can see Ben creeping up a little bit, and then he, boom, turned that speed on, got in there, snatched it, went the other way. Good stuff, man. Just a good game overall. 22 points, 4 rebounds, 10 assists, 3 steals, 1 block shot, 7 turnovers. You know we don't like that. Fix that, and then we're all good. Sixers pick up their 32nd win of the season, 119-107. Again, season and career high for Furkan Korkmaz, 34 points on the evening. And as we kind of update you on what was going on around the association tonight, the Sacramento Kings leading the Miami Heat in Sacramento, minus Jimmy Butler, by 783-76. The Boston Celtics took down the Atlanta Hawks, 112-107. Toronto took care of business in Indiana, 115-106, which allows the Philadelphia 76ers to jump into the fifth spot, half game up on the Indiana Pacers. And for, you know, a little personal, the Phoenix Suns, 127, Houston Rockets, 91. So I'll take that right now. And if we look at the standings, the Grizzlies 26-26, 2 games up on the Blazers, who are currently playing right now. And I think they're playing the Utah Jazz. Yes, they're playing the Utah Jazz right now. So things could change by the end of the night with this, the final game on the one of the final games left in the association. At the half, Portland up 72-58. Damian Lillard just on a tear right now. Tear. I mean tear. So hopefully Sacramento can take down the Miami Heat, hand them their 17th loss, which would allow the 76ers to then be 3 games back of the Miami Heat. So there's that. I want to tell you guys about the Fanatic Pro Shop. If you want to outfit yourself in some cool Fanatic and Philly sports swag, do you? You know you do. Lots of Fanatic and Philly sports team theme merch at great prices. From hoodies to long sleeve tees, mugs, caps, phone cases, tanks, and a lot more. The Fanatic Pro Shop has something for everyone, including our lady listeners. With unique Fanatic and Philly designs, go to 975thefanatic.com and check out the Fanatic Pro Shop. Open now, as we get ready to, you know, close down the show so we can all enjoy our weekend, don't forget tomorrow morning, starting at, with my guys, Jamie Lynch, Andrew Salchunas, they will be with you from 9 a.m. till noon, live from the Leah Kors Center, ahead of the Temple basketball game tomorrow. So make sure you guys tune in tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Then Rob Motti and D. Lynam, they will be live from Parks Casino from 12 until 3. Joe Stazak will then take over the controls from 3 to 6:45, right before the Flyers pregame show, as the Flyers take on the Capitals starting at 7 o'clock right here on 97.5 This Fanatic. So make sure you guys tune into the Fanatic tomorrow. We have you covered with everything here on the Fanatic for Temple coverage. While the guys will be at the Leah Kors Center, they'll be talking Sixers, of course, setting things up for a nice Temple basketball game led by Aaron McKee, the head coach. Then D-Lineham, Rob Motti at Parks, Joe Stazak following, handing things off to the Philadelphia Flyers in Washington to take on the Capitals. Tomorrow, if we are just projecting out really quickly before we get back to the phones, a big time schedule tomorrow, where we're going to keep our eye on the Toronto-Brooklyn game tomorrow at 7:30, the Indiana Pelicans, New Orleans Pelicans game at 7:30, some standings stuff there. And then I'll be watching tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, Phoenix and Denver. I'm just saying. Let's go back to the phones. Mark in Lumberton next on the Fanatic. What's up, Mark?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man.
So I was at the game tonight. It was the first Sixers game that I've been able to go to ever in my life.
Really?
Yeah, I just, like, hadn't had a chance before, and I was able to go tonight. So I was very happy about that. And sure, it was against the Grizzlies, but it was just a fun game to go to either way.
Well, the Grizzlies are a good team, so let's not discount them.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, seeing Furkan drop 34 tonight was a lot of fun. I'm not going to lie. That was a really cool moment. The way I see it is, you know, like, obviously, like, the Sixers are a much better home team than they are an away team. And I think at this point, most people realize that having Al and Joel on the floor at the same time just doesn't do well for the team. It's just unnatural. Like, they don't flow well as, you know, those two guys on the court do. Where if it's just one on the court, like, Joe exited the game a little early. And when that happened, when Al was the main center, the game was able to flow a little bit more differently. Al hit a couple of nice threes that just might have been game flow or whatever you want to call it. But I think overall, the Sixers need to start to realize that having the two of them on the floor together just isn't working. I think Brett Brown needs to – I know Brett Brown had a quote earlier this – like, I think it was either today or yesterday saying, if that's the way it's going to go, that's the way it's going to go. I think – the sooner he realizes that that's probably the best way to win games on the road, that's going to help the Sixers down the road.
Well, it might, and a lot of people share the same sentiment, man. So I don't think we'll see any changes these next two games. If they do, it will come after the All-Star break, in my opinion, Mark.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Although I do got to say, I have a little love in my heart for Norvell Pell tonight. He came in, I think he had maybe like 8 minutes, and he had four fouls in 8 minutes.
Yeah, he was getting after it. They were picking on him early. He was, I'm in it. Got that new contract.
Yeah, in that first minute, he had two fouls. So it was just kind of like, okay. So that was fun to watch. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, it was a good win tonight. It's kind of like a good, you know, reset night, I think. But I think this team really sort of needs to get its head on its shoulders as to what it wants to do. You know, the trade for with Golden State, you know, with those shooters from the bench, I think it helps in terms of the grand system that Brett Brown wants to implement. And I just think that, you know, like, having that system in place and having those players and having those pieces is going to only do better for the Sixers. I'm not sure that it's the right move, but I think in terms of what Brett Brown wants to do with the team, it's the right move.
Listen, yeah, it does make sense, man. Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you shutting it down for us tonight. I'm glad you enjoyed the game. Thank you, Mark. Everyone, have a great weekend. Thanks so much to Josh Rabick for handling everything from 6 o'clock on. Special thanks, of course, to Tyler Zuli, Brian Seltzer, Tom McGinnis, and Marty Dickerson for the Sixers coverage. And to all of you all week long for making sure we had some fun here on the station throughout the week. I'll talk to you guys. I'm off Monday, so I'll talk to you Tuesday before Sixers, Clippers, and I believe it's Brian Seltzer and I for 6 and 60 live from the center. So I'll talk to you from the arena before the game and then, of course, in the post after the game. So have a great weekend. Andrew and Jamie at 9 a.m. tomorrow from the Leah Chorus Center. So have a great weekend. Enjoy everything on the Fanatic, and we will talk to you on Tuesday right here on the Fanatic.
What's going on, everybody? This is Mikal Bridges from the Phoenix Suns.
1 point lead, and now Bridges with a steal. Down the lane, layup up and good.
And you listen to my cuz, Devon Givens, on 97.5 The Fanatic. V's up.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Hey guys, Bob Cooney here for my friends at Get a Car. If you're in the market for a new car, but maybe you're stressed about the whole traditional car buying process and don't want to waste hours and hours at a dealership going back and forth, well, now with Get a Car, you don't have to. I met with the great people at Get a Car, my man Jake over there. They're revolutionizing car buying. It's so simple. Just go to getacar.com and shop one of the largest selections of vehicles at the lowest prices, right from your own couch. Just choose the car you want to buy and order it right from getacar.com. Get a Car will deliver your car to your door, let you test drive it in your own neighborhood, and even take your old car back if you want to trade it in. And the best part is, if you don't like it, return it within 7 days for a full refund. My wife and I are due for a new car soon, and we've decided we're done with the same old car dealership runaround, and we're so glad that we found Get a Car. To check out their great online selection of vehicles and start your Get a Car experience, just go to getacar.com. That's Getta with 2 T's, spelled GETTACAR.com.
There's something new in the oven at the Home Depot. Air fry, only in the Frigidaire Gallery Air Fry Electric range. Satisfy your family's fried food craving with a healthier, tasty cooking alternative right in your oven. It also comes with self-clean, true convection, and a very tasty price, just $798. With up to 40% off appliance special buys, it's a good time to be a doer at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only. See store for details, valid through February 26th.
Ad sponsored by Open Jar Concepts. Attention veterans and active duty military. If you were issued combat arms earplugs after 2002 and were diagnosed with hearing loss or ringing in the ears, you may be entitled to significant compensation. The manufacturer paid $9 million to resolve claims that their earplugs were defective, potentially exposing service members to damaging sound levels resulting in hearing loss and tinnitus. Call today for a free legal consultation at 800-243-1391. Again, 800-243-1391. That's 800-243-1391.
Hey, Mark Farzetta here. There's nothing like watching a basketball game when you got a little action on it, especially when there's great college games on every night. That's why I love my Parx Casino Sportsbook app. Look, it's no secret that you gotta be Philly proud in Philly, and I love the hometown team, and that's why I choose our hometown team at Parx Casino, my sports book of choice. They're right in Bucks County, right in Philly's backyard. The only sportsbook run.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.